as we get started this evening, there's three questions that I want everyone here to be able to answer by the end of the service. And I know that you will, because you guys are very sharp here. Number one, if you live your life in a way that clearly shows that you love and follow God, is that enough evidence for the world to persecute you? Number two, why would they persecute you? And number three, will all the persecution be worth it? Okay. We're going to be settling in Daniel 6, but I want to start off with 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13. Says this: indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So will those who live a life after Christ Jesus receive persecution? Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. It's promised. Why would they want to persecute us? Because the children of Satan will always hate the children of God. It's pretty simple. And because they hate you, because you remind them of God, they want to get rid of you. They don't want you around. And so now that will lead us perfectly to Daniel 6. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but we are going to hit some high points as we look at this on the world, the children of Satan persecuting the children of God simply because they are the children of God. We start off with the very first verse in Daniel chapter 6. For it reads this: it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Okay, very nice introduction here. What does it mean, however, that an excellent spirit was in him? Well, it means simply this: Daniel showed that he had true humility to God. It showed that Daniel exemplified meekness. He saw all of God's dealings in his life as good. Daniel exemplified full obedience to God above everyone and everything else. Daniel had an uncompromising stand for God's word. And he stood firm upon it. He loved God, worshiping God, serving God more than anything else, and that exemplified who Daniel was as a human being. Did this group of officials hate Daniel because they hated God? Absolutely. The answer is easy: yes. Verse 6 tells us, then these high officials and satraps, governors, if you will, came by agreement to the king and said unto him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, you see they're lying already, all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors, and they all are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Did these officials hate God and hate Daniel because he loved God? Absolutely. They lied straight to the king's face. We all agree. Every last one of us. Did Daniel agree to it? No. But we all agree that for 30 days, no one should make petition to any God or human being except for you. Because you, King Darius, you are the Most High King. You're the one that rules over us. You're the one that's most powerful. You're the one that's most knowing. They are essentially telling King Darius how high he is, while at the same time hating God and not wanting God to rule over them or anyone like them. And the fact of the matter is that Daniel refused to join them, made them hate Daniel even more. And therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. Then go with me to verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, okay, he knew the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as he had done previously. He didn't change his routine. He didn't stop worshiping God. Sorry, Josh. He didn't stop serving God. He didn't stop worshiping God. He didn't stop praying to God. He didn't stop his relationship with God. His relationship with God didn't go on pause because somebody came up with a stupid rule that you can't talk to God. You can't give any petition to God. You can't give thanks to God. You can't bring praises to God or anyone else for that matter for 30 whole days. It has to only go to King Darius or you'll be thrown in the lion's den. He didn't say, oh no, that means I can't pray. That means I can't praise God. That means I can't talk to my Heavenly Father. That means I can't communicate with God anymore. For 30 whole days, I'm just going to be a non-follower of God. He didn't do that at all. It didn't stop him at all. He continued being the godly man that he had been the whole time by God's grace enabling him to do so. And did this upset the enemies of God even more? Yes, it did. They could not wait to bring that evidence that Daniel is still praying to God. They could not wait to bring that to King Darius and make King Darius throw that God-serving, God-worshipper into the den of lions. Let's get rid of him because he's making us uncomfortable. Let's get rid of him because he is not living a life like we live. And matter of fact, the things that he believes makes us look bad. I don't want anyone looking at me like I'm sinning. I want to enjoy life, Daniel. So let's get rid of Daniel. Let's come up with a way to get rid of Daniel. Let's persecute Daniel and get rid of him. Did they hate Daniel? Absolutely they did. Because they hated God. Because they did not want Daniel's God and from the Word of God to tell them that they were a sinner in need of a Savior. They didn't think they were in need of anything except more fun and excitement, more power, more riches. That's what they wanted. They did not want to put themselves to the side. They wanted to really enjoy life. And they felt Daniel was stopping them from doing this. And everyone liked Daniel. So they saw what Daniel was doing, how Daniel didn't stop worshiping God, how Daniel didn't stop serving God, how Daniel didn't stop obeying God to the fullest. And verse 13 says, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah. You see how they did that? One of the guys that came from Judah, he pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction that you have signed and put into place, but makes his petition three times a day. He's violating these rules, your rules. Oh, the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel and labored till the sun went down to rescue him, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't find a way. Darius loves Daniel. Darius tried to find a way, very fretful. He was very anxious. He's trying to find a way to save Daniel because he knows what has to happen, and he's trying to find a way to get around that from happening. Verse 16 tells us, the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. We also know that from verse 18 that the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting and had no diversions were brought to him, and his slept fled from him. So, did Daniel continue determination to live for God, anger his enemies even more? You know it did. Did God allow all these plans to be carried out for his own glory? Yes, and we will see that. But was King Darius fooled by the evildoers? Yes. Was he full of anxiety? Yes. Was he hopeful that somehow, some way, God would save him from this unsavable situation? Because once you were thrown to the hungry lions, you didn't come out. You were completely destroyed. You were eaten. You were killed instantly. So it shows us how much he loved Daniel. As he says, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. It also shows us that even King Darius knew who Daniel was. Even King Darius was aware of the type of man Daniel was, is, and always would be. That the threat of being thrown into the lion's den would stop a whole bunch of people, but wouldn't stop Daniel. When Daniel said that he would love God and serve God and worship God, when he was saved by God and placed his faith in God, took God at his word, he meant it. His life was changed forever. It showed in his everyday life. And nothing was going to stop that. Nothing was going to stop Daniel from being a servant to the Almighty God and worshiping the Almighty God, even the threat of his life being taken from him. And he didn't have any diversions. He didn't have anything to pass the time. King Darius didn't have anything to take away his attention. His full attention was on, okay, is Daniel's God going to save Daniel? He fasted. He didn't sleep. He didn't truly know what was going to happen, but it shows in the scriptures here that at the very least, King Darius spent all night thinking about Daniel and hoping that somehow, some way, Daniel would be okay. Does all these things, as I previously asked, and the answer is obviously yes, did all these things come together perfectly according to God's will, according to God's way? Absolutely, yes. Carried out by God. None of these things would have even been able to happen if God not willed it to be so. Verse 19 says, "Then at break of day the king arose and ran with great haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, O Daniel, servant, slave of the living God, one who serves God no matter what, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Does God that you have served, have you that you worshiped, that you lived your life for, that you lived according to His word, was that God more powerful than lions? Could it be that that God was able to save you?'" Crying out in distress that he believes, at least by his response, he's hopeful, but he doesn't think it happened. Could it have happened? Did it happen? Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." We heard that before from the evildoers, right? "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him," before God, "and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Okay? God didn't have to save Daniel to receive the glory. And many times, through the lives of the martyrs of Christ, we have seen that to be so. He doesn't always have to choose to save you to get the glory and it be for your good. But here, particularly in Daniel's life and his friend's life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he chose to supernaturally make the lions not act like lions, at least for the night. And had the angel shut the lion's mouth, and they didn't claw at Daniel, they didn't break his bones, they didn't bruise him, they literally would be sleeping or walking around Daniel. Because Daniel was not in this predicament because he had this outdated or outdone sin against God. It wasn't God punishing him. This was all the wicked plan of a wicked people to get rid of Daniel because they wanted to get rid of God. And God was going to show them who was truly in charge, who was truly sovereign over this situation, who was truly all-powerful, who was truly all-knowing, who was truly everywhere at once, who was truly in command of all things. And at the same time fulfilling his promises that those who live, who have that desire to live a godly life, will be persecuted. Every single person that goes out and shows themselves as a follower of Christ with what they say, with what they do, even by what they think, and it's evidence that they are saved, that they are a Christian, that they love Christ, that they love God, that they follow Him, that they stand firm on the Word of God and uncompromised to proclaim His truth, no matter what happens. Following God and His ways, no matter what. Those are the people that will be hated. Those are the people that will be persecuted. Because those are the people that make it obvious that I love God. That I worship Him. I serve Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And so bring it on. Bring on the persecution. Bring it on, because everything is ultimately going to be for our good and for His glory. And nothing's going to happen to us that doesn't go through the pierced hands of our Savior to conform us to the very image of His dear Son. So then, the king's response in verse 23, the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God the entire time. Think about that. It's easy right now. Nothing is happening to us right now. We're free to worship God this evening. So to stand here and say, I trust God no matter what. Hey, high five, I do too. You know the type of people that are taking this piece of scripture to heart is the persecuted believers that we read about just about every Wednesday. They're being persecuted just because they claim the name of Christ, because they claim to be a Christian. And that time is coming here in America. And when it does, may God give us the grace to stand firm as Daniel did, trusting Him throughout the entire time that persecution is here, simply because we're a Christian. He trusted God that the entire time, the entire lowering down to be with in the lion's den, trusting God, knowing that God was sovereignly in control, knowing that even if God had allowed the lions to take his life, it did not change who God was, is, or always will be. But that at the same time, God is the only person, God is the only being that could have saved Daniel in that situation and chose to do so, just as He is still today for us. And the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, that they were brought and cast into the den of lions. But hold on, not just them, their children and their wives. A lot of pieces of scripture like this will never get preached or proclaimed in any church nowadays, because that's just too unkind. That's too violent. But that's exactly what happened. So we don't take the pieces of the Bible that we like and leave the rest. We take the whole thing, and we take it as God's word, and we take it as the historical account that actually took place, that these enemies of God got what was coming to them, and their sin did not just affect them, it affected their wives, it affected their children, every last one of them. All the family that they had were thrown into the lion's den. And did God give them the same wonderful gift and protection that He gave to Daniel? No, because it says, before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones into pieces. Every last one of them were completely destroyed by the lions. They did not trust in God. They did not have His protection. They got what was coming to them, as everyone who rejects God will receive from what they did while they were on earth. They will receive their just payment as well. Of course, theirs will be a lot worse and more intense than any lion could ever do. So both the saving of Daniel and the destruction of God's enemies, along with their families and children, their wives, all of it was done so that God would get the glory. And God did receive the glory. He received it and will continue to receive it, as we see from verse 26. I make a decree, says King Darius, that in all of my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. That's the God that deserves to be served, deserves to be prayed to, deserves to be praised, deserves to be worshiped, and gets all the honor, glory, and praise. So is all the persecution going to be worth it all? Go with me to 1 Peter. We're going to be closing shortly on this. Will it all be worth it all? 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised, okay? Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. Love that, don't you? But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. When Christ returns and calls us home, when you first see your Lord and Savior Jesus face to face, when you see Him and you see the one who died, was buried, and rose again so that you may have eternal life, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that it was worth it all. Absolutely, positively, 100% worth it all as you share in the victory that you have in Jesus. I love that hymn. You all remember that hymn? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. Loved me there. I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. We all who He has saved, we live a life according to the things that we find in His Word. That's why we worship Him. That's why we serve Him. That's why we love Him. We care for Him. We proclaim His gospel to the world, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We get it out there. We live a life that is pleasing unto Him and not ourselves. We show people the love of Christ through our actions. We are joyful. God never commands us to be happy. We're joyful people. We rejoice in our Lord and Savior. We rejoice in the one that saved us. We rejoice in the one that leads us. We rejoice in our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We rejoice in His finished work on the cross. We rejoice in the fact that He intercedes for us even today, even right now. And we live our life as shining examples for Him in His glory, as Daniel did. And we live our life in that way, knowing it's not going to take us by shock, because the Bible keeps telling us that it's coming, knowing that the people who hate God and hate His Word and want nothing to do with Him will hate us too and persecute us too. It happens. It's going to happen. It will continue to happen until God calls us home, where we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." And we'll get to enjoy the glory that is God forever. It will never end. So any persecution that happens to us, because we are living a life that's pleasing unto God, it will be worth it all. once we see Christ. Brother Ryan, would you close us in prayer?